This
recorded
is the Lighthouse
live
Hour with Minister Kenneth Jenkins.
Hello?
Today as they did 2,000 years ago when he wrote them. That in our lives, no matter where we could go or who we could meet or what we could see or what we could earn or be given to us or accomplish, there is nothing in our lives that will ever even come close to the greatness of knowing Jesus Christ our Lord.
And I found myself just living for today.
welcome to the Lighthouse Hour. Our special guest, Dr. Barbara Stewart.
Thanks for joining us. This is Our Daily Bread Radio. Your host is Les Lamborn.
Did you know that sin is a heart disease that can be cured only by the great physician? Severe acute respiratory syndrome, SARS, was identified in 2003 in Vietnam. And by the time it was brought under control, SARS had spread globally and killed nearly 800 people. One reason for the high mortality rate was that the virus was not recognized initially. But once recognized and understood, SARS was contained. An even more dangerous disease is on the loose in our world, sin. It too is difficult to bring under control because many people don't recognize its deadliness, and many dispute the Bible's diagnosis of sin. In Joshua chapter 7, we read the tragic story of Achan. We may recoil at the extreme way God dealt with him. Against God's command, he had taken some of the spoils from Jericho and hid them in his tent. He and his entire family paid with their lives. Well, thankfully, God does not deal with us that way, because if he did, none of us would remain alive. Yet, we must never underestimate sin's deadliness. It sent Christ to the cross for us. Like SARS, the first step to deal with sin is to recognize it for what it is. Receive with gratitude the gift of eternal life. Then put to death your members which are on the earth, the selfish things that displease God. That's the way to deal with our deadliest disease. Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, and verses 19 through 21 and verse 25 is the record of the judgment against Achan. And I'll read from Joshua chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things, for Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zurah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now Joshua said to Achan, My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it. And Joshua said, Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And as you think about today's meditation, remember, sin is a heart disease that can be cured only by the great physician. My name is Les Lamborn. To receive an introductory edition of Our Daily Bread, contact us via email at getodb@rbc.org. That's getodb@rbc.org. Or getodb@rbc.org. Our Daily Bread is furnished by RBC Ministries.
Energy efficiency interviews are brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Matthew, you know energy-saving light bulbs last 6 times longer than that old bulb in your lamp.
Yeah, well, I don't even live here.
Matthew, dinner's ready.
I never met that woman.
It's your favorite, Matt. Lasagna.
Don't you people knock?
Just give me the energy saver.
Millions of kids are using their energy wisely. What's your excuse? Learn more at loseyourexcuse.gov.
Jill, why don't you tell the class what you did this weekend?
Well, my dad and I went in search of some magical minnows and found a zillion of them in the stream from our lookout rock. Then my sister and I escaped from an evil slug king and went back to my super twig fort for safety. Then we told stories till it got dark, and the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Whoa! Where were you, Jill?
We went to the forest. It's not that far away.
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This is the Lighthouse Hour with Minister Kenneth Jenkins.
Thank you.
Good evening. Welcome to the Lighthouse Hour. Our guest, Dr. Barbara Stewart, will be on at 6:30, so stay tuned. This subject, Marriage God Made.
Putting on the wrist. There's thunder and it's the steps of lightning and it's this. And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
remember, 6:30, Dr. Barbara Stewart, our subject for the day, Merge God's Way. Stay tuned.
This is the Lighthouse Hour with Minister Kenneth Jenkins.
You're walking alone on the street. A group of people is hanging out just ahead of you.
Hey, yo, where you going? Come here.
As you approach them, they immediately surround you.
Hold on, let me talk to you first.
Taunting you. One of them attacks you. Before you know it, you're being robbed. You're a victim of a pack robbery, a robbery involving a group of assailants. In times like these, pack robberies are becoming more of a threat to our communities. These groups steal and are often more violent. Protect yourself from becoming the victim of a pack robbery. Avoid groups that are loitering or hanging out. Plan a safe, well-traveled route. Avoid desolate or poorly lighted areas. Be aware of your surroundings and the people around you. Don't be afraid to cross the street or avoid an oncoming group. Trust your instincts if you feel unsafe. To learn more about protecting yourself from pack robberies, visit ncpc.org or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Look at all the cars. Lots of colored cars. Now, there's a blue one. Isn't it pretty? Ooh, look how fast that red one's going. It's red like that stop sign. Like my jacket.
This is a 38-year-old man.
My jacket's not a car, is it? Is my jacket a car? My jacket is red, but it doesn't go fast.
He may sound a little strange to you and me. But to his 2-year-old son, who's interested in cars and colors, he makes perfect sense.
That's the sound cars make.
When you talk with your child, you build vocabulary, and learning starts long before school does. So follow their lead. Take simple everyday moments, like eating dinner or just watching cars go by, and turn them into learning moments.
Ooh, look, red car!
Yes! And it's moving awfully fast.
Blue car!
Yes! The man in the red car is about to meet the man in the blue car. Get himself a pretty pink ticket.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. For more tips, go to bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Look at all the cars. Lots of colored cars. Now, there's a blue one. Isn't it pretty? Ooh, look how fast that red one's going. It's red like that stop sign. Like my jacket.
This is a 38-year-old man.
My jacket's not a car, is it? Is my jacket a car? My jacket is red, but it doesn't go fast.
He may sound a little strange to you and me. But to his 2-year-old son, who's interested in cars and colors, he makes perfect sense.
That's the sound cars make.
When you talk with your child, you build vocabulary, and learning starts long before school does. So follow their lead. Take simple everyday moments, like eating dinner or just watching cars go by, and turn them into learning moments.
Ooh, look, red car!
Yes! And it's moving awfully fast.
Blue car!
Yes! The man in the red car is about to meet the man in the blue car. Get himself a pretty pink ticket.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. For more tips, go to bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
This is the Lighthouse Hour with Minister Kenneth Jenkins.
I'm a witness for my... I'm a witness. I'm a witness. Magnify his name.
Give him all the praise. We are men of worship. We are men of praise. We're lifting up Jesus in all of our ways. We've come to magnify his name, glorify his name, magnify his name, and give him all the praise. We are men of worship. We are men of worship. We are men of praise. We're lifting up Jesus in all of our ways. We come to magnify his name, glorify his name, magnify his name, give him all the praise. We are men of worship. We are men of praise. We're lifting up Jesus in all of our ways. We come to magnify his name, glorify his name, magnify his name, and give him all the praise. We are men of worship.
Minister Kenneth Jenkins.
McGruff, the crime dog, here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride. And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write
childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansfortheArts.org. the arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. When we're back with the Lighthouse Hour, and we have our guest. Our subject on today is called Marriage God's Way. Dr. Barbara Stewart is an inspirational conference speaker on a variety of topics, counsel, and radio host with an active weekly talk show program on marriage. You can hear Dr. Stewart here on Talk Show, 9 p.m. Mondays and Saturdays, also on Blog Talk Radio Sundays at 5 p.m. and WJOC 1490 a.m. Saturdays and Sundays at 4:50 p.m. Chattanooga, Northeast Alabama, and Northwest Georgia. Let's welcome Dr. Stewart to our phones. Good evening, Dr. Stewart.
Good evening, Minister Jenkins. How are you?
I am just fine. The subject, of course, is Marriage God's Way. So I know that's a big topic for you. And by the way, those of you who are listening, who are, if you're in the archives, you can listen, and I will be listening attentively as well. If you listen to us live, you can call us at 1-724-444-7444. Call ID 43591#. If you'd like to ask Dr. Stewart. First question. What makes a good marriage God's way?
Well, I believe you begin first with seeking God. From the moment the two people recognize that they are going to be married, or even before, from the moment the person is single, okay, you're single, you need a spouse. I don't like to use the word partner. You need a spouse, you go to God. If you are a true Christian, you go to God. You ask Him. And if God answers your prayer and He shows you or leads you to the right person, to the person He wants you to marry, you always remember your foundation begins with God. So it starts with prayer. It starts with God's wisdom, seeking His wisdom. It starts with looking also in the Word of God concerning marriage, the principles and laws laid down by God for marriage. It begins in Genesis, where He said He made male and female, and they two became one flesh. That's where we find the first principle concerning marriage.
Is there, does a Christian, when they are married, do they, is it necessary, or is it necessary to have a prenuptial agreement? I've heard a lot about this prenuptial agreement before I got married, and it's been a big deal. I know it's been a big deal for a lot of marriage counselors. Your perspective, is it necessary to have a prenuptial agreement?
I believe that wherever you see a prenuptial agreement, these two people are in love. They do not love each other. They're in love. They're in love with what the other person has. Maybe their beauty, the personality, but not the real person, not the person, the essence of the person then. Because if we're going to use prenuptial agreement, then it's telling me you don't really love me. And I believe you, me, if I were getting married and I had to sign one, there's no way I'd want to marry that person.
So a nuptial agreement is it's not biblical to have one, isn't it?
No, it is not. And to me, if someone's going to have a prenuptial agreement, then you're actually saying, I'm taking a chance with you. I don't trust you. That's number two. Number three, you're only marrying me for what I have.
trust issue. One spouse trusts you, the other one doesn't. How can that be dealt with?
If the two people are going into marriage and they do not trust each other, they were never meant for each other. Or they need to get, if they cannot get the trust issue out of the way before they get married, it will not come right when they do get married. There will always be suspicions. So if they're married and there has to be a reason, if when they first got married, they loved each other, they cared for each other, they trusted each other, something happened in the relationship that has brought the breakdown where trust has become an issue.
So in other words, okay, just say that it was a trust issue in the beginning, but all of a sudden, trust issue, there's something wrong with the trust, there was a trust issue within the marriage right after the first year. Is there a certain cry there, or do they really need to sit down and do counseling?
If there is a trust issue a year after the two people got married, then they do need counseling. And I would also say first they need one-on-one counseling, and then they need counseling with the two of them together. One-on-one could be that maybe there is something that happened that he or she had rather not divulge before the other person, but we'll let them know eventually. But to the counselor, the objective person, they will express themselves and say, well, this is what is bothering me. They can use a counselor as a go-between to say, well, this is what is bothering Clara. Or, Clara, I'll be there while you are expressing yourself to Frank, as the case may be. But they need to get that trust issue out of the way. If it does not, listen, if they don't deal with that trust issue, it is going to plague them the rest of their lives until if the marriage lasts long enough.
What if it lasts more than 2 years?
It doesn't matter, you know. If there's a trust issue, it will always be a barrier. Because the person who is fearing, who fear the lack of trust in the other person, will not give 100%, even if they went in the marriage giving 100%. There will always be reluctance, hesitancy, and fear.
We are talking with Dr. Barbara Stewart, who is an inspirational conference speaker and on various topics, a counselor and radio host. You can hear her here on TalkShoe. We're talking about marriage, God's way. We're going to take a break. We're going to take a short break and come right back.
This is the Lighthouse Hour with Minister Kenneth Jenkins.
McGruff, the crime dog, here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And fool me.
The address is
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
It tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride. And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write
back to the Lighthouse Hour. Our subject, marriage, God's way, with Dr. Barbara Stewart. There's an article in here, Dr. Stewart, that I got out of our local paper here in Savannah. It was talking about premarital preparations. And here's the interesting, it's called Weddings versus Marriage. To encourage premarital counseling, the state legislature passes a measure in 2005 offering a discount to couples who provide documents showing they completed a certified program. My question is, with these counseling sessions that's by the state, are they more helpful, or you think they're more helpful as you as a counselor, or as you counsel persons who are getting ready to get married? And, you know,
I believe that counseling, premarital counseling, is essential. It is very, very important. Doesn't matter how long the couple has known each other, they do need counseling. But there is counseling and there is counseling. All counselors are not equal. Not even all Christian counselors are equal. Because some Christian counselors stick mainly with the secular psychologists.
Okay.
While there are Christian counselors who go directly to the Bible. I counsel directly from the Bible. I allow the Holy Spirit to empower me to speak through me. I counsel according to the Word, not according to what somebody else says. They may say something similar to the Word, but I usually go to the Word. So maybe for the secular, this kind of counseling is the ideal thing for them, and they're satisfied with it. You know, it's hard to really say whether the counseling is what the quality then counseling is what they should have or whatever the case may be, but I don't know. I really don't know. It's hard.
I know here in the state of Georgia, it is part of the that you have to. I didn't know it until recently. Well, until right before we got married, I didn't know it that you had to have a certain counseling that the state required. But I didn't really didn't know. As far as that, I don't know in your state if it's required there in your state or not. I don't know.
I really don't know. But what I normally encourage is that, and many pastors believe in this too, they will not marry people unless they have been counseled specifically even by those pastors before they marry them. And I quite agree. And my idea is not just counseling before marriage, but there should be counseling for the couple's sake. They should continue counseling at least three months after the marriage, especially if they are not lived together. You know, if they were living together, even if they were, because you know the churches don't only marry Christians, they marry non-Christians too. So even if they were living together, they still need that counseling after marriage.
How about is there a long-term counseling or continuing counseling after the first or second year of marriage? Is it always continuing, isn't it?
I think that it's not totally necessary, but it's just similar to how you get your car serviced. You know,
right.
You buy a new car. This is a new relationship. You buy
right.
a new car, you get it serviced every so many miles and so on. And maybe just, even if you didn't go to counseling, you could go to a retreat, listen to marriage programs like what we do and ask questions there, you understand? But I don't think nowadays, the way how people's minds are so fickle, both in and outside of the church, I believe one does need that objective help every so often, you know?
Because some people go through counseling, like some couples go through counseling like But even after, long after they've been married, like, I'm going to say about 5 or 10 years. And
that's okay. That's good.
And
that's good.
And this helps?
Well, I don't know if it helps the couples, but they must know why they want to go. Because, listen, people are unfolding. The personalities are unfolding year by year,
okay,
day by day, put it that way. And as they get older, you find things, little creaks that needs oiling, you know, the doors and so on. And by that I mean in their personalities. That's what I'm really talking about, in their personalities. And another thing, too, one would find that men and women are not the same. Men and women are different. Different in their communication, different in their in the way they deal with situations, and so on. So really, it is good at times that either the woman is going to read a book and make it inspirational, and the man, they need to read together, find out about marriage. Marriage is a mystery, and it's very complex. We don't ever know everything about marriage. If you were to meet a couple who'd been married for 60 years, I can't remember, there was someone in the news recently. Oh, it was someone in Georgia, Reverend Lori. He'd been married for 60 years, still with his wife, you know. And I'm sure they could tell a lot of stories about the storms, the complexity of marriage, and the mystery of marriage. And still they may say to you, I still don't know him. And she'll say, he'll say, I still don't know her. That's what marriage is all about.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, this is my first marriage.
Mm-hmm.
At all.
Hold on.
Right.
Not your first. This is your marriage.
Right. I mean, this is the first time. Well, okay. Let me rephrase that. This is the first time I've ever been married.
Right.
Put
that's
that
better.
Way. Okay. I don't think it'd be another one.
Right.
I'm trying to make this one and only.
Yes. So you speak what you want. Speak it into being. This is my marriage. This is the only time I'm planning to be married.
Right.
Yes.
Well, my wife, she's been married before.
Mhm.
But her husband died. Now we have a difference of opinion on marriage. She says it's easy because she's been in it for 14 years.
Yeah.
Well, her first husband, she was with it for 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, I've never been married.
Uh-huh.
She says it's easy. And
uh-huh.
In my case, she says it's easy. For me, it's hard because I've never experienced it.
So let me ask you now, what do you see about marriage that you would say it is hard? What makes it hard for you?
I don't know, maybe.
If you know how to be faithful and you want to be faithful, you are making. That's that. That's the bottom line.
She's right. She's
okay.
Perfect. You're right.
She said you're right.
You see, the only reason you could say marriage is hard is if you're planning or you're being tempted to be unfaithful. And you listen, it becomes hard. You will say it's hard then because you want to be faithful to your wife, but there is
right.
Something that's attracting you there. So this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to draw the dividing line and say, no way.
Okay.
You see? And don't look at marriage as being hard. It is not hard. You must purpose in your heart that this is the woman I'm married to. I'm going to love her till death us do part. That's all there is, nothing more. No matter what comes, who comes, what they say, what they show you, what they have to give, turn away from it.
I understand now. Because she's, and you two are in agreement, so I'm going to take that advisement. I'm going to
mm-hmm.
take that advisement.
Mm-hmm.
That what you two said, and she said, like she's in the background. She said it's nothing to it. One, two, three, nothing to it.
You see, you have to, you got a purpose in your heart.
Right. That this is the woman I marry. I marry her not because I am in love with her, but because I love her. And I'm going to show you, because I'm going to leave you now. There's a difference between being in love and love.
Right.
Being in love is that the first thing happens, you're gone. You're done.
Right.
And you're through the door. Because the thing that attracted you to this person, it has faded. It's no longer, there's no more interest. It has worn old. It's old. It doesn't have the same interest and attraction to you. But if you love this person, even when that person starts to gray, or they get a punch, or they put on a little weight, or whatever the case may be, even if they're not even as good as you would expect them to be in bed, this is your wife. You love her. When she's sick, you're going to tend to her.
Right.
That's what love, when you love someone, that's the difference between love and being in love.
Okay.
Do you have a final question?
Oh, well, I guess I understand now. I understand mm-hmm. now. These 2 years has been interesting. And
mm-hmm.
These first 2 years has been interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And, for me. And
mm-hmm.
I really appreciate this. This is good. Because actually I need to do more of these.
You know what I want to say to you is this.
Right.
Before I leave, is this: be patient. Don't be in a hurry. Don't rush anything. Learn communication. Learn to communicate with your wife. Learn how she communicates with you. It's very important, because communication can build or break your marriage. If the communication is not good, it can break your mind. It can cause problems. Your communication must be effective, must respect each other, must learn to listen to even what she doesn't say. Even what she does not say, listen. If you don't understand, shut your eyes, pause, wait, say, Lord, show me. But don't beat yourself up and say, well, this is the first time I've been married and I don't know this. You go straight back to the one who ordained marriage. He ordained marriage. He knows the answers. And he will help you.
That's true.
So,
I really appreciate this.
Mm-hmm.
This has helped me, and I'm sure anybody who's listening to the archives, I'm sure it helped them as well. Again, thank you so much for coming on and doing this program. This is something I was hoping that we'll get into.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you for having me, and it was a pleasure. And I really enjoyed the questions. I love those questions.
Well,
and
I was trying to pull questions out. I have nothing written down. I just try to pull questions out. and everything. So, but again, thank you so much, Dr. Stewart. It's been a pleasure. And of course, I'll be listening to your program.
Yeah.
You can listen to Dr. Stewart here on TalkShoe. She's on 9 p.m. Mondays and Saturdays. You haven't changed your schedule, have you?
Oh, it keeps changing, because I tell you something. This day was so busy. I mean, from morning, it's been one telephone after the next, one call after the next. And sometimes someone may call me in the midst of the day. They need counseling, you know. And so I'm always very, very busy. So sometimes I change it. I just sort of put up the schedule sometimes to keep it open, you know. But there are times I really can't make it, and I have to upload programs, and I do send around an audio sometimes, and I'm always extremely busy, and also in my church.
Okay, yeah, of course.
Yes,
well, we thank you. You can listen to, she's on 9 p.m. Mondays and Saturdays, Blog Talk Radio. You can catch her on Sundays at 5 p.m. If you're in the Chattanooga, Northeast Alabama and Northwest Georgia area, you can catch on WJOC 1490 AM, 415 PM.
We had to cancel that radio program.
Okay.
We had to cancel it, and the reason for that is because I had no support for it, and my programs do not, my ministry does not have support.
Oh. Well, we
it does not have
support.
So I had to cancel that radio program and stick to, you know, what I will only, you know, will not cost me for the time being, because I don't know what the Lord has in store for me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, God bless you, Dr. Stewart. Thank you.
God bless you, too. Thank you, and God bless.
You
bye
too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
That was Dr. Barbara Stewart, and we've talked about Marriage God's Way. It's been an interesting program, very good program, and I hope you enjoy it. You can listen to this program on the archives. We'll be back on Thursday as usual for the Lighthouse Hour right here on TalkShoe and Jam Radio. Good evening, everyone, and God bless.